You're following in the church Bibles in the pews. The red Bibles, it's page 911. I think it's also printed on our order of service. If you need a larger print Bible, it's page 1622. And we read Joel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. So let us hear the word of the Lord that came to Joel, son of Pethuel. Hear this, you elders. Listen, all who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your fathers? Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. What the locust swarm has left, the great locusts have eaten. What the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. What the young locusts have left, other locusts have eaten. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you drinkers of wine. Wail because of the new wine, for it has been snatched from your lips. A nation has invaded my land, powerful and without number. It has the teeth of a lion, the fangs of a lioness. It has laid waste my vines and ruined my fig trees. It has stripped off their bark and thrown it away, leaving their branches white. Mourn like a virgin in sackcloth, grieving for the husband of her youth. Grain offerings and drink offerings are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests are in mourning. Those who minister before the Lord. The fields are ruined. The ground is dried up. The grain is destroyed. The new wine is dried up. The oil fails. Despair, you farmers. Wail, you vine growers. Grieve for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is destroyed. The vine is dried up and the fig tree is withered. The pomegranate, the palm, and the apple tree, all the trees of the field are dried up. Surely the joy of mankind is withered away. Put on sackcloth, O priests, and mourn. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, you who minister before my God. For the grain offerings and drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Alas for that day, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Has not the food been cut off before our very eyes, joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seeds are shriveled beneath the clods. The storehouses are in ruins. The granaries have been broken down, for the grain has dried up. How the cattle moan. The herds mill about because they have no pasture. Even the flocks of sheep are suffering. To you, O Lord, I call. For fire has devoured the open pastures, and flames have burned up all the trees of the field. Even the wild animals pant for you. The streams of water have dried up. And fire has devoured the open pastures. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I've chosen this, I said to Chris before this reading, because this is a great promise to God. He said, you're going to be my people, I'll be your God. And that was what was promised, but they turned their back on God. Hence, we had that prophecy from Joel. But Chris, read us what God wanted to give them.
Our second reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. If you'd like to follow it in the church Bible, it's on page 205 or 361 on the large print version. Moses speaks of the blessings of obedience. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruits of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day, and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Friends, your service order has the Joel reading on it. Lord, our hearts are hard sometimes. We don't always find your word easy, but speak to us, Lord, of your purposes and your desires this morning, we pray. Amen. Now, be honest, who's read the prophet Joel before? Five people out of all of you who have knowingly and can remember reading a prophet Joel. I've never preached on Joel ever before, but I've been thinking about Joel through September. But I want to dig into it these next minutes with you. And let's start first with the curriculum vitae, the CV of Joel. It comes in verse 1, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, son of Pethuel. It tells us all we know about Joel. We're given his father's name, and the name Joel means the Lord is God. And the words the prophet is speaking are on behalf of God. Now, Joel is somebody who some call a minor prophet. He's called minor not because what he says is unimportant, but rather due to the length of a prophecy recorded. And the scholars have said Joel could have spoken any time between the 9th century and the 4th century BC. But most Old Testament scholars say they think it was approximately 500 BC that Joel was speaking. So what, you say, why should we bother with something said probably in 500 BC. Well, look at verses 2 and 3. It's a very important message. Hear, you elders, listen, all who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your forefathers? And then it says, tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. This is a message we should all still be hearing. That's first, the curriculum vitae or the CV. Second, there's the crisis which Joel talks about. Hear this, you elders, listen, all who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your forefathers? Here is unprecedented calamity. And yes, it's good to recall hardship endured. We need to tell hardship stories to future generations. On November 11th, 100 years after the end of the First World War, we'll think about what happened at that time in our national and world history. It's right to remember that armistice. Well, this was a national disaster as well as a natural disaster. And I love that clip which Steve had on BBC. Are you aware about the locust attacks in recent history? There are stories from classical times when Africa was a Roman province. There was a massive invasion of locusts. No way you could spray them in those days. And yes, the dead locusts were thrown up on the coasts. It infected the air. And the pestilence was so horrible. In the kingdom of Massinissa alone, 800,000 are said to have perished from the infection caused by the locusts. And in Utiké, 30,000 soldiers were there, only 10,000 remained alive because of the putrefaction of locusts. In 1960, there was a massive locust attack in California. It was described in newspapers in terms reminiscent of Joel. In one county in California, 200,000 acres were covered with grasshoppers over every inch and in some cases stacked on top of each other. And the fields were left bare as the floor. And one agricultural officer commented like this: what they don't eat, they cut off for entertainment. Or think back to even what's happened in North Africa more recently. Do you remember 1988? In Chad, there was a terrible civil war. And normally they tried to spray or deal with locusts. They couldn't do that in North Africa. And the weather also meant the hatch and the temperature conditions increased the locust swarms even bigger. And yes, what was happened was devastating on those very poor countries. There was concern the locusts would invade southern Europe. They can be absolutely devastating. And there's some staggering statistics of the millions and millions of locusts in certain swarms. I could tell you more, but I won't go into that now. It was a catastrophic thing, a national disaster as well as a natural disaster. Verse 5, a catastrophic harvest and crop failure. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, you drinkers of wine, and wail because of the new wine. It's been snatched from your lips. See, wine is cut off from a drunkard, not to condemn them as being any worse, but points out they'd be first to suffer because their happiness depended on the fruit of the vine. They're to awake not from sleep, but from their drunken stupor and realize what God is doing in history. But wine is a good thing. Psalm 104, verse 15, wine is given to gladden the hearts of men and women. But look at the strength and numerical power of what occurs. A nation, verse 6, invaded my land, powerful without number. It has the teeth of a lion, the fangs of a lioness. It's laid waste my vines and ruined my fig trees. It's stripped off their bark and thrown it away. leaving their branches white. We have there emphasized the numerical strength, the amazing destructive power, focus, and the ferocity is compared to the teeth of a lion or the fangs of a lioness, laying waste, splintering the bark of the fig tree, peeling it off. Verse 8, there's unspeakable anguish. I remember my first curacy. I was due to take a wedding, a young couple. She was early 20s, he a few years older. Looking forward to their wedding day, he was killed in a road accident. And verse 8 captures something of the agony I saw in that young woman's face. Mourned like a virgin in sackcloth, grieving for the husband of her youth. Just doesn't happen as they'd hoped. Unspeakable anguish. Verses 9 and 10, fellowship with God was expressed in the cereal offerings and drink offerings at the temple. They had to cease. Those were conditions of God meeting with his people. That couldn't happen. There's nothing there to offer. The farmers, verse 11. Despair, you farmers. Wail, you vine growers. Grieve the wheat and the barley. Because the harvest of the field is destroyed. The vine is dried up. And the fig tree is withered. The pomegranate, the palm, and the apple tree. All the trees of the field are dried up. Surely the joy of mankind is withered away. What a terrible picture. And the priests who represented people before God in those days, as we saw in verse 9, they now, verse 16, couldn't offer the daily sacrifices. Verse 19, there were wild fires. Verse 20, there was drought. Well, where does Joel leave it? There's a challenge to think and to call out in verse 13. Put on sackcloth, O priests, and mourn. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, you who minister before my God. The grain offerings and drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God. And it goes on. Declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, summon the elders and all who live in the land, the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. We've had the CV. We've sensed something of the crisis which hit that nation. But where does that leave us? Third, and finally, I want to give you what I've called a clue. It comes in verse 15. Alas for that day, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Friends, do you realize the Bible says that history is going somewhere? And the locusts in Joel were like a film trailer. A film trailer for something much worse. A constant theme throughout the Bible is that there are consequences for each of us if we ignore the Lord our God. It comes with prophets again and again. I'll just give you a few references. I might call out reference to those who listen later on the tape. Isaiah 13, wail for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Because of this, all hands will go limp. Every man's heart will melt. Amos 5, verse 18, woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? There will be darkness, not light. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. Near and coming quickly. Listen. The cry on the day of the Lord will be bitter. A day of distress and anguish. And you turn to the New Testament. And the Lord Jesus links the day of the Lord to his return. And what we read about in Joel is a portent or harbinger or foretaste in miniature as to how history will end. And if you think what Joel writes about is bad, and I saw your faces, I think you were quite shocked, weren't you, when you looked at those locusts as we've gone through this chapter. Well, actually, those were indicative of God's judgment. And throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, locusts are a symbol of God's judgment. Right through to Revelation chapter 9, verse 7, or Exodus. Pharaoh turns his back on God, and God sends the locusts in to destroy that land. It is God who brings prosperity, and he says, I bring disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. Christians aren't dualists. We don't think there's a good power and a bad power. Everything is under the Lord God. Prophet Job, suffering terribly, says, should I not accept good and trouble from God? And friends, a judgment in history should remind us of the judgment at the end. There is a present reality to judgment and a future reality. I say that with a somber heart, but I can't avoid what the Old Testament and the New Testament and the Lord Jesus above all taught. Jürgen Moltmann was a great theologian, one of the best theologians of Christian belief, and his books are still read. He died about 20 years ago. And Jürgen Moltmann put it very sort of evocatively. He said, we must not drift through history with our backs to the future. Are you drifting through life, through history, with your back to the future? It's very dangerous. If you do that, who can endure it? Albert Camus, a French novelist and journalist, he was quite well known for what was called absurdism. And without any explicit Christian belief, he once commented, don't wait for last judgment. It takes place every day. It's taking place in Wargrave today, in this church gathering. Well, who can endure it? I'm going to quote one verse which Steve's going to speak on next week, because I don't want to leave you in limbo, in case Christ returns this week, which he could. Joel 2, verse 32. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you done that? The Lord is against sin. He doesn't, but he does do this. He doesn't just look on us in sadness and sympathy, because sin is an offence to God. And the Lord, in being for us, may for our benefit come against us. I should say here, I'm not thinking about things like the Grenfell Tower, and Jesus spoke about that tower which collapsed in Jerusalem. There are many things happen where nobody is to blame in any particular way, any more than we are to receive that sort of tragedy. But actually, key thing is, have you, have your family, have your friends called on the name of the Lord? How good we live after the resurrection of Jesus, his death on the cross, before that. Because the New Testament tells us God so loved you, I quote, he did not spare his son. May we be ready for the coming judgment of the Lord, whether it's this week or in a year to come. Amen.